The coronavirus has created a sense of fear and uncertainty within many people, leaving them feeling like they're standing on a weak foundation that has no lasting elements to it. This has sent them looking for answers and certainly for strengthening. Many were surprised, in fact, when about a week ago, President Trump came forward with an answer, a National Day of Prayer, which was last Sunday, March 15th. While that surprised some people, it was not a surprise to my next guest. She is President Trump's spiritual advisor, host of a daily TV show, and author whose latest book is Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials, Pastor Paula White-Cain. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor.
It's so wonderful to be with you and all your listeners during this time. And just as President Trump acknowledged right away, boy, does the nation ever need to pray right now. And we should always pray. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. But we understand the power of prayer, that prayer really does bring the will of God to pass in the earth. And I had the wonderful privilege and honor of being a part of going in and briefing him. And as we were, he's getting daily briefings, of course, on every single situation and on churches and on faith organizations and et cetera. Immediately, President Trump said, we must call the nation to prayer. Immediately. And it was his driving force that understands, as many of us hear him say often, we worship God, not government. They called the nation and people of all faith to come together and to cry out. As we know that 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says that when we repent, change our mind, change our direction, turn to God, and we pray, then he will heal the land. There's so many scriptures that reassure us of the power of prayer and of God working in very difficult times. You know, we might be in uncertain times, but we have a certain God.
And certainly, too, when I think this is the time, too, where we think about how we act toward each other. For example, I mean, the old axiom is you don't ever want your last words to someone you care about to be the angry words. And like Ephesians 4, we learn that we should let go and cast away any anger, because that's just not what you want the final connection with someone you care about to be.
It's so true. During this time, I really believe it's almost a reset, a time where we're all looking and saying, the world changed overnight. Everything changed. And it's a time that certainly did not catch God off guard. And I believe it's a time of real deep reflection and introspection and repentance and cleansing and God saying, look, how have you treated others? How have you conducted your life? Where am I? This is an opportunity for the church, which is the salt of the earth and the light of this world, to really show forth the goodness, the grace, the love, the mercy of God. So many people have said, how have you stayed so calm? People that might not necessarily have a walk with God. And I simply start sharing with them that the kingdom of God is not drinking and eating, but it is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and that it is within. It's a kingdom within us, and it's unshakable. And that joy and that which is our strength and that peace comes from the Holy Spirit, which is by our relationship with God. People are really looking for answers right now. I talk to them a lot about Psalm 91. I love how it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. All of those wonderful promises are contingent on that verse 1. And, it goes on to say that the terror by night, or the arrow that flieth by day, or the pestilence at noonday, and it almost names everything that we seem to be going through, and 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. But it's really contingent on verse 1, which is he that dwelleth. And the word dwell there, some versions say sit, because it means to sit. It means to homestead. In Florida, we understand homestead laws that they created during times of elderly people, so many which live in Florida, were being taken advantage of and scammed. And so they created laws that said, look, if you go through a hardship or there's a health crisis or something happens, even if you had to file a bankruptcy or Chapter 11 or Chapter 13 in Florida, they can never take your house. So one of the things is like someone, a creditor or a claim jumper or a claim possessor that would want to come take your possessions would never be able to take your home. And God is saying, No one can take your position with me. Rest in me. Sit in me. One of the words for healing is Rapha, and it comes from a root of Rapha, and it means to relax. And I believe that God's calling us to this time of resting and relaxing in Him when the world has so much panic and fear and unanswered questions and confusion and it's not sure what's going on. Most of my days are dealt with putting out the false information and the rumors and getting to the facts. That's why President Trump has said 15 days when he started that and said washing our hands. And they say social distancing. I like to use the word physical distancing because I think while we are physically distanced, we can still be socially intact. And it's important, like you said, don't let anger rule your heart. Don't let hurt or wounding or offense. Lay those things aside and let God bring healing. Pick up the phone and just tell someone you love them. Check on them. Let them know that you care. They're small, whether it's a text or whether you have a ministry that can do an SMS or a radio station or then walk across the street if you're well and no one's sick or flu-like symptoms or any of those. And let somebody know you love them, that you care about them. It's so important during this time. I know even for myself, as much as I know the Word and live the Word and want to always be pleasing to God, I find myself sometimes getting caught up in the busyness, like a Mary and Martha syndrome. And I've had time to, every single night, my husband and I have, I think I've watched a few movies in like 4 or 5 years. We watch a movie together. We eat our popcorn together. We lay on the couch and relax together. It's been a wonderful time of bonding.
Is this going to be a time that could restore a lot of families with the time that they're spending together? There's I forget the exact month and day, but there's a national Eat Dinner with the Family night. I think it's sometime in April. And it's, it's great to have those days that recognize something, but I think something like this is going to maintain that recognition of its importance and just the connection that we all should have. We're talking about Pastor Paula White Cain, her recent book, Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials, paulawhite.org, somethinggreaterbook.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And speaking of your book, Pastor, it's your story when you look at that 18-year-old girl who was lost and then almost in a blink of an eye, a lot between point A and point B. Granted, you're on stage in front of tens of thousands of people preaching God's word. And at what point is it right to stop and analyze or just say, well, this is what you want me to do. This is where you want me to be. And this is what I'm going to do. And this is what I'm going to be.
You know, I just, like you said, there was a lot between point A and B, and I had a real life transformation. I'd never grown up in church, and when I got saved at 18 years old, I it was a radical salvation. It was almost like a Saul to a Paul that God just knocked me off my beast and revealed to me who His Son Jesus Christ was, and I did nothing for 2 years of my life but stay in the Word. I didn't know church. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know denomination. I didn't know I didn't know religion. I didn't know the rituals. I knew nothing except for what I was reading in the Word of God. And so I began to follow it. And I started by actually feeding the hungry and the poor and taking a turkey and splitting it in half. And so I say to people to this day, I never owned a business card. I really never made this big grandiose plan. I never thought I would do the things that I'm doing. I simply obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit and just almost childlike stepped out when He would give me an instruction and I'd obey it. So I don't look and people go, well, how did you do it? I mean, I really have to say I simply yielded to God and did what He asked of me to do.
With your story and with what you just said in mind, do we have a path for a full faith in God if we have no challenges in our life?
I think challenges are good in our life. We are told when the Apostle Paul said, there's so much more in the Word of God that the Apostle Paul said, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and in the fellowship of your suffering. You think about Paul when he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, very intellectual, obviously persecuted the church. And when he's crying out because he has And who knows what the affliction was? The Bible says a thorn in his flesh. Was it a demonic spirit? Was it a sickness? Was it a, you know, there's different theological expositories on what that is. There was something that was really tormenting him. And he asked God that, because he uses that word, that it tormented. And he asked God, he said, you know, take this thorn from me. But it says that he was given this thorn because he had surpassing revelation, exceeding upon others. And that God said, I'm not going to remove it. No, I'm not taking it away. But my grace is sufficient for you. I think in challenges, you know, we often want to pray the storm away, but the storm can be very beneficial for us. As long as, like Noah, we've built that ark, we've made God our refuge, our covering, our safety place. It's the tough times in life that really bring this fortitude and this building and show us what's vitally important. We don't know the future, but God does. We, I think, should use wisdom. We should do everything that we naturally can during this time. But ultimately, we must rely on God. And ultimately, we know that without God is a covenant-keeping God, and without being in covenant with him, I don't know how you have this kind of hope. So our hope rests in Christ. And that's the message that I really hope people hear, that you're not alone, that God is with you. He has a plan. He's not shaken by this. And if you turn to him, you'll find the comfort, the peace, the joy, and perhaps the answers that you're looking for.
And what we read in Matthew 28 through 30, and this is Jesus talking, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen. Amen. He is our Sabbath rest, you know, and it is only, it goes back to resting in him. If it abides under the shadow of the Most High God, he who dwells. And so that's so important that we learn how to rest in him. I think we've gotten in a society that's so fast-paced, and we know we're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're sent to the world as believers. And unfortunately, sometimes even those of us who are strong, strong Christians adopt the pace of the world and the temptations and the pressures and of culture. And this is a time of, I heard someone doing a podcast on perhaps God's given us a Sabbath, you know, a reset, a rest in him. And we need to look and see the word in its fullness and the goodness and the grace of God and really examine our lives and walk out, where are we with God? Where are we with the people that we love? And really look at the things that are vitally important in our lives.
Pastor White Cain's book, again, is Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials. Her website, paulawhite.org. And for her book, somethinggreaterbook.com, you can also follow her on Twitter at @Paula_White. Pastor Paula White Cain, you are an inspiration, and through the stories of your life and the work in the here and now, you are indeed a blessing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. Be blessed.